warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not-so-fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I am Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles in our studio. This is the show where we promote men to be bold, to be holy, to live Catholic every day.
All of the above.
All of the above. Welcome and enjoy. Sit back and you already had the warning. I love how we have the built-in warning now.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this isn't a new thing, but I still really enjoy it.
I talked to one guy, though. He said he liked it better when we did it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well.
And I don't blame him, because we did it really good.
But sit back and relax and enjoy. We do three things on the Man Show. Every episode, we open. The first thing we do is open, enjoy, and review a manly beverage.
You said that in the wrong order. Open, review, and enjoy. That's what we do. That's the way I always say it. Sorry.
Okay.
It's okay.
I'll let you take on the second one.
Yeah, okay. Then we highlight a man gear of some kind, things that every Catholic man should have, use in your day-to-day, semi-day-to-day, week-to-week, whatever, that kind of life. And then we have a manly topic. And since we're talking about the warning, you know, if you're someone who says, yeah, I can withstand the Catholic Man Show, but just barely, you know, I'm hanging in there. You better get the medical staff on standby for today, because we're going to have a... I mean, we're turning the man level up, I think. Talking about Our Lady.
Yes, absolutely. This is something I love. In fact, if we could do one a month talking about just Our Lady, I would love that.
I told my wife, Pamela, I was like, I am super pumped for the Man Show tonight, because we're talking about Mary, and I always get excited.
Yep, me too. Dave, I got to tell you, though, man... I am excited for this week. A little bit of a slowdown.
Just go ahead.
You're going to go ahead and
do that
right now?
Don't mind me.
That is kind of rude. You didn't even, like... Okay, anyway. This last week has been super busy for us. We had our annual fundraiser for St. Michael Catholic Radio. Dave and I are both... Dave is the president. I'm the vice president of our local Catholic radio station here in Tulsa. We had an event called Theology at the Tower as our fundraiser. And
Second annual.
And we have a live Q&A session with four of our diocesan priests up there. And people ask questions in the audience and get answers. And so, anyway, we had that. And
This year with bonus bishop answers.
Yes, bonus bishop answers. Yeah, Bishop Emeritus Slattery was there. Both Bishop Condola, David Condola, and Bishop,
yeah, they were both there. And Bishop Slattery, though, he answered a couple of questions.
Yeah,
Emeritus Slattery.
Yeah. And then the day afterwards, we had a live remote that we went to. Which was a lot of fun. We had a
we Facebook Lived it. You may have seen that.
Yeah, you may have seen that. But we
next year or next time we do that, we need to try to figure out a way to hook up our audio stream that we're pumping out via radio waves to the phone. I think that might be possible.
I think it is possible. You guys got to just bear with us. We're still trying to figure everything out.
Yeah.
But
we don't have anyone, like, we have no one instructing us.
No.
We
no.
just kind of...
We have our producer, Juan, and the only qualifications that he has as a producer is he's our friend.
And he can become best friends with anyone in 2 minutes.
Right. So...
Which is an amazing skill.
That is an amazing skill to have.
But he knows way less about radio than we do.
Right. So, but it was a lot of fun because...
And that's not saying much. Or no, that's... Is it saying a lot?
That...
We don't know much about radio.
But the live event was at a craft brew festival, which is awesome. It was so fun to...
And a bicycle race.
I don't really care.
There's some crazy dudes out there.
Didn't really care about the bicycle race. Really.
I thought it was kind of cool. Like,
I mean, it was cool, but I could have taken it or leaving it. Left it.
Okay.
I was more interested about the beer.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. But today, Dave, I'll let you introduce what we're drinking today.
Okay.
What we're
reviewing. So today we're having an Anthem beer.
Which is a local Oklahoma beer.
Yeah, so they come out of Oklahoma City. We're having the Ogletoberfest is the name of the beer.
Mm-hmm.
Anthem, started by this guy, Matt Anthony. He got a Mr. Brew kit for Christmas one year. And he brewed his first beer, and that like took him off in a whole new direction. And from that moment, he knew, I am going to start brewing beer. And so that's what he did. And he even like went to Europe and traveled all over the place to all these breweries to find out, you know, what kind of things he liked in a beer, what he didn't like, you know, about the brewing process.
Mm-hmm.
So then he got investors and he got going. And now Anthem is a very well-renowned company. We talked yesterday live.
Right.
But I forget the guy's name.
Nicholas.
We talked to a lot of guys yesterday. But their distribution is Oklahoma and now parts of Kansas.
Kansas and Missouri.
And Missouri.
Yeah, because he said he had three states. Missouri, Kansas,
maybe
Oklahoma.
Missouri just came online. I don't know. I don't remember. Like I said, we talked to a lot of guys. Definitely Oklahoma, Kansas,
mm-hmm.
and maybe probably Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Missouri.
That's what he said.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
That's okay. So check them out because they got a lot of really good stuff. They do Belgian style brewing.
Mm-hmm.
All of their brewing is done open top, which I think is interesting because when you don't seal the brew, you know, like you're brewing stuff, you got the mash and you need to let it, you're letting it sit. If it's not closed, then particles, bacteria from the air will get into it and that can drastically change the flavor of your beer and it can ruin it. There is a way of doing it. In fact, there's a brewery in France. Ken Henderson has told us about it a couple times where
okay.
they brew in like the basement of this castle or something crazy like that. And they've been, it's just
doing
a huge, you have this
Dude,
huge, massive pot.
Did you know that this beer was made on Earth by humans?
By humans. Yeah.
Made on Earth by humans. They wanted to make sure that we were aware of that. They put that on their can.
For humans. I believe also. It doesn't say that on the can, but I'm pretty sure the humans that brewed it intended other humans to consume it.
I think that that's a safe bet.
Yeah. So you know that scene in Elf when he's sitting there, the doctor, and he's like, oh, I'm a human raised by elves.
Yeah.
And the girl's like, I'm a human raised by humans.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel about that beer being brewed by humans.
This beer is a Vienna-style lager. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so this one is a Vienna-style lager.
Personally, like, my taste, I'm not a big lager guy.
That's too bad.
But this one I do enjoy compared to a lot of other lagers because it's not...
Why do you think you don't like lagers?
I just associate a lot of it with light, like it being light.
Okay.
I don't enjoy... Like, most of the lagers that I've had are not... there's not a lot of tasting. There's not a lot of flavor to it.
So do you think if I gave you a beer and didn't tell you it was a lager, you would enjoy it more than if I told you this is a lager and you drank it? I
mean, probably.
Do you think you have some mental bias going on?
Probably. Most likely.
Yeah.
In fact, because if you would have given this to me and wouldn't have told me it's an ale, I probably would have been like, a lager, I probably would have been like, well, maybe it's an ale.
Uh-huh. It's pretty dark
because
for a lager.
Because it is, it's more of a caramel color. It's not
yeah,
like a...
It's a rich color.
It's not like, you know, a lot of lagers
and
are
it's got
very
foam.
Light
I mean,
yellow.
Look, it seems mm-hmm. like it's got more head than
mm-hmm.
the average lager.
Yeah. And it has more flavor to it.
For sure.
The reason why I don't like a lot of lagers is because it just seems...
I kind of know what you mean. You know, they're a little...
It's like watered down.
They're a little thinner.
Yeah.
The flavor is a little thinner. You know, it's not like a stout. For instance, I mean, it's the not a
right.
stout at all, but...
Speaking of a stout, we had an awesome coconut stout.
We did.
At the festival, which mm-hmm. was really good. That was my first time to try
a
coconut stout.
And a fantastic breakfast stout.
Yes, by
Calibri. We drank a Calibri beer last week.
Mm-hmm.
So they were at the beer festival.
Mm-hmm.
And all of their beers are gluten-free.
Yes.
And he brought us this breakfast stout, and I was like, oh, that is good. And then, I mean, I knew the beer we had on the air last week. I knew it was gluten-free, but I thought, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, they make a good gluten-free beer.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that I didn't realize that was their thing.
Right.
You know? And
yeah,
so
that's like their... their thing, because his wife...
I'm glad I didn't know that, because I got to try that breakfast stout without, once again, without that mental bias, you know. That.
Mm-hmm.
So, for me to just try it and say, wow, you know, that's a good breakfast stout, and then find out, oh, it's gluten-free, it's like, what?
Right. Yeah. Because it's really hard to have gluten-free beers that are like stouts.
Do you remember what he said they do to it? I do. I'm testing you.
No, I don't remember what the word is.
Flocculization.
Flocculization, that's right. Yes.
Yeah, dude.
He flocculizes it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if
deflocculization.
That's right. Yeah.
He deflocks it.
Deflocks it. So. But this beer is really good for a lager. It's meant for more of an autumn time of the season,
sure.
But it's still really good. I enjoy
you
it.
I think you could drink this during the winter. I think I could. Do
yeah,
it.
I mean, I could
fireside. You know,
I enjoy darker beers during winter. But
if you're outside in the cold, you know, definitely you want to go for the, you know, the stouts and
porters.
Yeah, you don't like porters, do you?
Yeah, I'm a porter.
You
like
do
porter.
Like porters? Uh-huh. Maybe it's my brother who said he doesn't like porters.
I'm sure that's the case.
Yeah.
So, happy...
He also tried to... my brother tried to tell me that a stout and a porter were the same thing.
Well, that shows how much credit he has. Dude, happy feast day.
Thank you.
We haven't even wished you a happy feast day yet.
Thank you. Are you wishing it to me?
Like, yeah, to you personally.
Thank you.
And then
likewise,
to all Americans.
Likewise, my brother.
Because this is the feast day of
yes.
the Immaculate Conception.
Long live America!
The patroness of the USA. So, when we get back, we will open up our man gear... It's pretty sweet man gear. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show.
I feel like there's a period at the end of each one.
There was. Yes.
Good. Mm.
So, you guys have never thought about this, probably. I'm almost 100% sure. But we live in a monarchy. This is America, and we are a monarchy. We have a king, but we definitely have a queen. Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception. She is us for America. She's our patron saint, and today's her day. By God. And I mean that literally. I mean, by God, it is her day. All hail to thee, Mother, our Queen.
You didn't even give her a toast. Like, you didn't even...
I said all hail to thee.
We didn't even, like, cheers or anything this last go around. We were a little,
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus.
To Our Lady. Under the title of the Immaculate Conception.
May we...
No, just cheers to Jesus.
Oh, just
cheers.
Okay.
Yeah. It's okay.
May you quit sinning, you big sinner.
You talking to yourself?
No, I'm talking to you. I'm looking right at you.
Are you doing that whole thing, like, you talking to me? You know, like, where you're looking at yourself in the mirror? Is that what you're doing right now?
Nay.
You gonna quit sinning, huh?
Nay. Really quick, let me just throw out a couple things before we get into our man gear.
Okay.
One, if you need some prayer request, or if you have some prayer requests and you need some prayer buddies, we're there. We're there for you.
Yeah, because we have a list.
We have a list going.
I was looking at the list, and Adam, I noticed your name is on it like 30 times.
Well, I need a lot of prayers. So,
oh, okay, I was just curious.
Yep, I need a lot of them. So anyway, if you do, in all seriousness, if you need somebody to pray for you, we're here. Reach out to us on our social media or email us, and we'll be happy to add this to the list. After every show, we pray for you by name. We have a list going on a marker board. So anyway, we'd be happy to do that. Dave, will you tell them a little bit about how to become a friend of the show and the new Catholic Man Show beer glasses?
Yes, I will do both. In order to become a friend of the show, you should follow these steps. Go to breadboxmedia.com. Click on the Friends of the Show link. Search The Catholic Man Show. And then you want to donate $10 per month, monthly 10. It's basically nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do so, we will respond in the following ways. We will immediately send you one of three things. We will send you a Catholic Man Show Glencairn glass, or a Catholic Man Show glass beer stein.
Mm-hmm.
Is it officially a beer stein? I think it's like a big glass mug for drinking beer out of.
Yeah, beer mug.
It's got Catholic Man Show on it.
Right.
Or if you are a woman, if you're a lady,
mm-hmm.
we will send you a bracelet.
Yes.
I knew it was a bracelet, but I didn't couldn't remember if there was like a.
Well, there's
official name.
No, I don't know the name.
It's a bracelet.
It's a bracelet.
It's a lovely bracelet.
Yes. You can go on our social media and look at it.
Yeah. You can see pictures. So we will send you one of those things. And we will also immediately add you to our private Facebook group
mm-hmm.
where all cool things happen.
Yes. And we will also add you to our newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
Which our last newsletter added some information that we're going to be doing for the Friends of the Show upcoming. We're going to be interviewing Matthew from thenewevangelization.com, which will be a lot of fun.
Needs to happen.
Well, we are.
People need to be
on the 12th.
They need to be evangelized.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's part of what we do here.
Yeah.
So on the 12th, we're going to be interviewing them. So that the week of the 12th, we'll be giving it all to the Friends of the Show.
One of our good Catholic Man Show followers last Sunday posted something on Facebook I thought was really funny. It was the feast of St. Nicholas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he punched a dude in the face.
A heretic.
Yeah, because he was espousing heresy. But I think it was like in a council, at one of the councils back in the day or something. Like, it was in front of a bunch of other bishops.
Mm-hmm.
And the meme was like, I'm here to pass out Christmas presents and punches to the face. And I'm all out of Christmas presents. It's just pretty good.
That is pretty good. So the last few episodes, we've talked about reconciliation. We've talked about prayer. We've talked about being grateful.
Yes.
Thanksgiving and gratitude. And
getting
this,
some synergy.
Yes. And so this man gear kind of helps with all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, I'll let you introduce it.
Okay. This is the Catholic Planner for 2017.
Mm-hmm.
It is approximately, 10 inches? You say it's 10 inches?
Sure.
I'll say 10 by 8.
Okay.
My exact measurements.
Okay.
So, it's a planner. It helps you plan things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just that. It's for Catholic planning. It's mm-hmm. for a Catholic planning everything and prayer and stuff. I mean, it's got like all the stuff. So if, like, it's regular stuff.
You're killing it with the description right now.
Yeah, dude.
Just killing it.
Dude, I feel like I'm
keep going.
The zone.
Yeah, keep going. I'm sorry.
So it's like if it's regular stuff, that's fine. You got it like at the very beginning, I open up just the front page. Here's like my path to sainthood. 2016 achievements. Like, what did you do good? And then.
Great reflection.
Yeah, here's your. And then it's like your goals for 2017 breaks it down into like inspiration and focus.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
All kinds of stuff. Then, obviously, a calendar.
Right.
At the beginning of the month, it has, here's all the feast days for the month. It has, like, fun facts.
Mm-hmm.
As well as, like, some good quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Although, it doesn't say who the quotes are by. The gate of heaven is very low. Only the humble can enter it. That's a quote. It's in quotations.
I'll quote you on that quote.
Yeah, I know it's a quote. It's in quotations. But then for the week,
mm-hmm.
it gives you, like, you turn the page. All right, here's the first week of January.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you the readings for the upcoming Sunday and a small reflection.
Mm-hmm.
And then a place for you to write some notes, some free space to journal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, like, a place to check off, like, some accountability. Did you do, like, your rituals, habits?
That's what I like about it because
back and see how did I do this week.
Right. I think that's what I like about it is that it's an accountability thing. We've talked about, you know, developing habits of prayer, developing, making sure that you're being grateful for what you've been given, you know, for in the last 20 seconds. What have you been grateful for? You know,
right.
Because there's a lot of things. This helps. And I know that there's a, people out there that, you know, just do everything by their phone these days. Some people, though, enjoy writing things down. I'm one of those guys where I have to, if I don't write it down, it's very hard for me to remember it. In fact, I'll write things down, I'll jot things down just for the intention of making sure that I remember it. And so I like this. It also has a Lent reflection, like a Lenten guide through Lent. And they're really nice. They're high quality. The covers are very nice. They come in blue, black, or red.
Yeah, it's
or
a maroon. Hardback.
I guess, yeah. I mean, you said brown.
I said clay. I said it's like a...
Yeah. I think it's more red.
This is like an Oklahoma City clay color.
I think it's more red than anything, but... Or maroon.
It's not like red. Yeah, it's like maroon.
Okay. But you can go to CatholicPlanner.com, check them out. They're about $32. They're very nice. It would be a great thing if you are one of those people that have to have a written calendar. You have to, you know, carry it with you everywhere. It'd be great to take into adoration and do some reflection. It gives you, you know, like you said, the Sunday readings, and it gives you space to reflect on the Sunday readings. It's a great place to go. Or to carry to adoration for that reflection time.
Yeah.
So we're going to give away two of them. CatholicPlanner.com. Catholic Planners gave us a few of them. And so we're going to pass it on to you guys. We're going to give one away instantly to a friend of the show. But we're going to give... So actually, we're giving away three.
Okay.
One goes to the friend of the show.
Good idea.
Yeah. One goes to the friend of the show. The other two are going to go on our Instagram. So go to @ The Catholic Man Show on Instagram, and we're going to be giving them away. We're going to have a contest, so you have to go over there and check them out and see how you can win it. But go to our Instagram page, and we'll pick two winners, just like we did last week with the Wallet Rosary.
Yeah,
we had a winner.
That was popular.
Yeah, that was, and so it went well. So we're gonna do it again. So go over to our Instagram page, and follow us. We post a lot of different things on there, a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah. You say we had like 50 people?
A little over 50.
Enter for the Wallet Rosary?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good.
A little over 50. So, and we gave one away to Father Brian O'Brien. I don't know who he's...
So he could throw one at a high school student.
Yeah, maybe throw one at a high school student. Hopefully he didn't hurt them, because they...
Yeah, you threw one at me. And sucker slings across the room.
Yeah, so... Anyway, the Catholic Planner. That is the man gear of the week.
Because if you're Catholic, you should be planning.
Right. Yeah, and it's all about, you know,
developing habits
and keeping yourself accountable.
Mm-hmm.
I loved what Father Brian O'Brien said about prayer. Somebody asked about prayer at the Theology of the Tower. They said, in fact, it was our buddy Chad who asked, how does a layperson, you know, develop prayer? And Father Brian O'Brien said, every morning before you get up, before you, you know, get out of your bed, drop to your knees and thank God for the day.
Yeah.
You know, start immediately... offering up the day, kind of,
yeah, that
to our Lord.
The morning offering idea.
Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a great idea. You know, I mean, we've kind of talked about that before, but I think that, you know, it's an easy thing to do. It doesn't take very long. Everybody has to get out of bed anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so why not get out of bed and offer the day up to our Lord?
Of course, I recommended meditative ecstasy, which
that is what
I thought was a fantastic recommendation.
Like, you were like levitating while you were recommending that.
Why don't you just try meditative ecstasy?
Yeah, so...
Just do that. Anyway, we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Hope you enjoyed that break, or if you're listening podcast-wise, I hope you enjoyed that 15 seconds that you skipped to get to hear.
Fast-forward button is awesome.
Yes. We are sitting here drinking some Anthem Brewing from Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City.
It's a local beer for us. Mm-hmm. We just got done talking about Catholic Planners, the 2017 planner, CatholicPlanner.com. We're going to give away two of them. They're really nice.
Three. We're giving away three.
Well,
we decided three.
We decided three. Yeah. One to our friends of the show. So, I mean, we give away anything that we get, we make sure to give at least one to friends of the show.
If we get stuff, we either give it away or consume it.
Yes, absolutely. And
I prefer the consuming, whatever.
I think we're at a little over 20 some odd. Yeah, I think 20 some odd friends of the show. I'm not positive on the number, but anyway, your chances are much higher becoming a friend of the show of winning things.
That is totally true.
Extremely, like, mm-hmm. a lot higher.
Not gonna lie, we favor them.
Yeah, exactly.
We are biased.
We are biased towards the friends of the show. I mean, because we have some great friends. In fact, it's really funny that our friends of the show, I actually feel like have become some of my friends. Like,
well, yeah, we were talking
Jonathan,
about that. Like, there's a lot of these
Andrew,
guys where it's like, if they lived in Tulsa, I would totally like.
I totally have.
We would absolutely hang out. Like,
yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Brian, he actually lives in Guthrie. At some point in time, we're going to meet up with him.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool.
I mean, but we have Chris. I mean, we have a lot of friends of the friends of the show that.
You know, the capital of Oklahoma used to be in Guthrie.
I did know that.
Yeah.
Because that's where the mansion was.
Oh, yeah. Our friend Nicole was married. I was going to say, I've been to a wedding there, but
yeah.
you were at that wedding, too.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I'll let you do the introducing the man topic.
Okay, so.
Which is super manly.
Super manly! Sit back, because we are about to conceive some knowledge in your brain, and it is going to be immaculate. Let me tell you. It is going to be the best knowledge.
Of all the knowledge.
Let me tell you. I will tell you, okay? I have the best conceived knowledge. I mean, I have words. I have the best words.
Your knowledge is the best knowledge of all the knowledge.
Sweet. Okay. So, the Immaculate Conception. We're celebrating Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception today. And she is the patroness of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we say it here. If we have a lot of people from Australia, from Ireland, some in Poland, you know. So if you really want to say it like American.
By the way, oh, hold on. Time out. If you're listening to this right now and live, if you're listening right now, you need to go find, and you haven't been to Mass, you need to go find a church.
Yeah,
ASAP.
Today
is a holy day of obligation.
At least it is here in America.
That's what I'm saying. If you're in America, yeah.
I'm sure it is. It might be, I would guess it probably is other places too.
At least in America.
If it is here in America.
So if you're listening live right now and you have not been to Mass, you can't say now, oh, I forgot, because we just told you.
You better, I would stop listening and go to Mass. That's more important.
Absolutely. And we rarely say to stop listening.
Actually, we do it all the time.
Every episode, actually, yeah.
Do not listen to us if you're susceptible to high levels of manliness.
Okay,
anyway.
Fair enough.
So the Immaculate Conception,
mm-hmm.
The feast day was officially promulgated.
Mm-hmm.
In 1854 by Pope Pius IX.
So this is something that the Catholic Church just like made up and decided
very
to...
very modern, yeah. It was just like, let's just make people...
believe
How can we get another collection? I think that's really what was going through Pope Pius IX. Like, we just want more money, so let's make another mandatory church day so people will give us another collection.
Okay.
Or that could be totally wrong.
I'm going with that one.
Right.
I think that was totally wrong.
In fact, when you look at history, he made it official because the public support for it was overwhelming. Like, people were writing and commenting to him like, hey, you need to make this an official thing.
Right.
And so he did what popes so often do, is they polled all the bishops of the world to see, like, you know, what is your stance on making this official? You know, it came back that, yeah, they all wanted to do it. And everyone, like people in the diocese, were already celebrating this feast day anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So he decided to. This is one of the few times that papal infallibility. No. Yes, mm-hmm. I believe it was. Yeah, he actually used papal infallibility to declare this
mm-hmm.
a feast day.
Well,
declare it a dogma.
Typically, when the Catholic Church does that, it's because that there's a lot of backlash or somebody like really pushing that. Oh, this didn't really happen, or this
right.
isn't true. You know, so a lot of people say, well, you guys just defined it dogmatically in 1854, you know,
that's 160 years ago.
Right, but if you remember, we didn't dogmatically define that Christ Jesus was both human and divine until like the 300s when the Arians came around.
God, dude, the Arians, man.
And so they didn't believe that Jesus was divine. And
yeah.
So. For the first 300 years, we didn't dogmatically say that, but that was only because there wasn't anybody saying, that wasn't
Well, it just
true.
Didn't need to be defined
right,
yet.
Because everybody knew that
now,
that was the
I don't
case.
Know that that was... I don't know that that was why it was defined. The Immaculate Conception was defined. Was there someone saying it wasn't true? Is that to your knowledge? Do you know this?
I don't know the exact... No, not enough
In
to
this case,
on
I
it.
Think it was kind of the opposite. Like, there was positive support for it. Hey, go ahead and do this. And so he did.
Okay. Well, I know that there was a lot of activity in the Protestant... in England and in Europe at that during that time,
right?
You know, that was right before, like, you know, Frank Sheed kind of came through as an apologist. And,
yeah.
Anyway,
Pope Alexander in 1661 made a comment about how,
which I think is extremely important. I think this is extremely.
So you know,
important.
This is, you know, 200 years earlier, talking about how people all over the world are already celebrating this feast day. So it's not something that was invented in 1854. This had been going on for hundreds of years. In fact, even Martin Luther was a believer in Mary's being sinless from the beginning.
I think that, okay, so first, I want to throw a couple things out there real fast.
Okay.
I think that proves two things, that there was a devotion, like when Pope Alexander the 12th, said this, you know, talking about the Feast of the Conception, that's how what he called it.
This is in 1661.
Correct. That says two things, that there was a devotion to the faithful, and that it was an ancient devotion, because he actually uses the ancient devotion of the faithful based on a belief that her soul, in the first instant of its creation, and in the first instance of the soul's infusion into the body, was, by a special grace and privilege of God, in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, her Son, the Redeemer of the human race, preserved free from all stain of original sin.
Right.
Okay. So I think that kind of clears up. If anybody says, "Well, you did this dogmatically in 1854, you guys didn't even believe it beforehand," I think that kind of scratches that idea.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think that we need to make sure we clarify that the Immaculate Conception has nothing to do with the birth of Jesus. Because a lot of people, you know,
yes,
because a lot of people confuse
a lot of
that.
Catholics think the Immaculate Conception is really the incarnation.
Right.
That's what they think it is. Yeah.
Right. Has nothing to do with the, yeah, I said birth, but I mean the conception of Jesus.
Right. Yeah.
It has to do with Mary.
You know the song "Mary, Did You Know"?
Yes.
Mary, did you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Whenever I sing that, it's like this: the child that you delivered would soon deliver you. Like, I always change the words to, child that you delivered had previously already delivered you.
Hmm.
Oh, Mary, did you know? That's what I do, because it's more correct.
Theologically correct.
Protestant song. A lot of Catholics hate that song. I love that song. It's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah. Let's not even get into that, because there's a lot.
You know why? It's very Marian. I use that song to explain our devotion to Mary. It's like, mm-hmm. This whole song is about, you're talking about Mary, but what's mm-hmm. it really about? It's really about Jesus.
Right.
That's our devotion to Mary. We might be talking a lot about Mary, but it's all about Jesus, just like that song.
Aim at Mary, hit Jesus.
Word.
Boom. What do you think about that?
I
didn't make that up. I saw that somewhere.
I knew you didn't make it up.
But I just wanted to make sure that...
Thank you for sharing.
I just wanted to make sure that everybody knew I didn't make that up. Mm-hmm. But I saw that somewhere. But it's like, aim at Mary, hit Jesus.
Yeah. Totally, dude. So the Immaculate Conception.
Yeah.
That's when it was defined, in 1854.
Okay.
But it goes back way beyond that. And I know we got a break coming up, but we've got a few things here, 4 points, mm-hmm. four that we're going to talk about.
Can we hit the first one?
Yes. The first one is Mary is the new Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Tell me
about Eve is that she was created without original sin.
Sinless.
Totally sinless.
So God can create people sinless.
It totally can be done.
Okay.
And if Mary is the new Eve, which she is, mm-hmm. Revelation points her out as the new Eve, mm-hmm. the new Eve must be greater than the old Eve.
Because that's how typography works.
Typography. Or is it archetypes? Mm,
typography.
I just wanted to see what you'd say. But so Mary, if she was conceived with original sin, would be lesser than the old Eve.
That's not how it works.
And just don't work like, homie, don't play like that.
Right.
So that's the first one. And that went really fast.
Wow, I'm surprised that's all you had to say about it.
Well, I was doing the fast version. Maybe I shouldn't have done it so fast.
Okay, well, do you want to expound on it at all?
Sure.
Okay.
And this kind of ties in with one of the other ones.
Okay.
But, you know, boom, Adam and Eve, they sinned. They're like, oh, I'm so sorry. And God's like, well, these are the consequences. Mm-hmm. And he's talking to Satan, and he's like, get the heck out of here. Mm-hmm. And he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman.
And wasn't he talking to Eve at that point?
No, he's talking to Satan.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's what I meant. I'm sorry. I said that wrong. He was talking to Satan, but it couldn't have been Eve because Eve was right there. And if he would have said, I mean, it didn't make sense to say the woman with Eve right there.
Yeah, but when he says the woman, it's almost as if Mary had always been part of the plan.
Well,
like, the woman, you know, it's not like, oh, the incarnation was a, oh, plan B. It was plan A.
Well, because the devil already knew about it because he'd been kicked out of heaven. Anyway, I can't get into that right now. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, sitting here with my co-host Adam Minahan. In my glass is some Anthem Ogletoberfest. It's a lager. It's very good. It's delicious. I like it more than Adam does, I think.
That's true.
But like I was saying, Mary is the new Eve.
Can
okay?
I just make one quick announcement?
It's never quick when you do this.
This will be quick.
Okay.
I just have to wish my wife a happy birthday.
Belated at this point.
Belated, but it's her birthday week.
Oh, well, my wife celebrates birthday month, so I can't really
okay
criticize a birthday week.
Yeah. My wife just turned 29 again.
I feel like I get like a birthday hour. You know?
That's because your birthday's on Labor Day.
My wife, like, the whole, all of October, she's like, her birthday's October 25th, but like October 1st, birthday month!
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, I'm going to do this because birthday month.
What? Just for the record, you took a lot longer on this than what I did. I just wanted to wish my wife a happy birthday week.
Happy birthday, Haley.
Happy birthday. I love you. You can continue.
Okay. So, enmity. Just quick sidebar. God, it seems like putting enmity between you and the woman, he doesn't say, I will put enmity between you and a woman. Like, now that sin has entered the world, I'm going to find a woman and put enmity between you and her. Mm-hmm. He says, the woman. Mm-hmm. Which is just like, just think about that. It's almost as if God's plan was always, the incarnation was always part of God's plan, but only because of sin did it require his suffering and death on the cross. Just like mull that over for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
I have
the first thing that why is the Immaculate Conception a thing? It's because she's the new Eve. Okay. And she must be greater than the new Eve.
No, than the old Eve.
Than the old Eve. Yeah, the new Eve has to be greater.
Yeah.
The second reason is because of Mary's blessed state.
Because we call her blessed.
Right.
All generations.
But it's like, okay, well, we call the Bible calls a lot of people blessed. That doesn't mean that they were immaculately conceived and sinless throughout their life, right? So let's talk about this for just a second.
Okay.
Mary, she goes, visit Elizabeth, her cuz. Mm-hmm. And she shows up and she's like, hello! And then,
which is also like the names of your daughters. Mary goes to...
I know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah, I have an older daughter. My oldest is Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. Next is Mary.
Mm-hmm.
So the age is appropriate, right?
Okay.
When the other day we were praying the joyful mysteries in the car, and we got to the visitation, and I was like, I looked at my wife, Pamela, and I was like, we have both these characters in the back seat. It's pretty sweet.
Okay, keep going.
Anyway, so Mary's like, hello! And then as soon as, you know, Elizabeth hears that, she's like flooded with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and her baby,
St. John the Baptist is like,
St. John the Baptist is like freaking out, like, mm-hmm. Oh, that's the mother of God. Oh my gosh, I love her. Ah! You know, like,
yeah.
total celebrity mode. That was pretty good, right?
Oh, I don't know. I'll have to listen to it. Listen to this. It was either like good or
it was
like
someone like totally freaking out. You know, like when you see a celebrity.
Annoying. Either one of the two.
You remember? Okay, well, like,
no, you have
I went
to, you have
I
to,
went
get
to Rome
this.
And like when people see the Pope, they lose it. I mean, they freak out, and it sounds just like that. Anyway, so Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Okay, and the thing is that she uses the same word when she says, "Blessed is Mary and blessed is Jesus." Just one is masculine, one is feminine, and she's saying this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
which is, and she draws a parallel between the blessedness mm-hmm. of both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Jesus is created totally sinless.
Right.
Okay, and so
no one's debating that.
And so her blessed, there's this, she has drawn this parallel.
Okay.
And so that is like super important. And then Mary says that all generations will call me blessed. Mm-hmm. So she is essentially given herself a new name again.
Mm-hmm.
The angel gave her a new name. This is also a new name. Like, her name is blessed.
Mm-hmm.
So she enjoys a different state of blessedness mm-hmm. than all other people,
mm-hmm.
which is parallel to Jesus, the God-man.
Okay.
Okay. One of the other reasons, this is probably one of my favorites, is because Mary is the Ark.
Mm-hmm.
One of the titles for Mary in the Greek tradition is a word in Greek that means wider than the heavens, because the infinite God, the heavens cannot contain him,
mm-hmm.
but Mary could. Mary did.
I like the seat of wisdom as well.
Seat of wisdom is also good, but wider than the heavens, like as the title for Mary. That's
pretty cool.
I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah, just because
cool. I like that.
That which is wider that could not be contained in the heavens.
I did not know about that.
Was contained within Mary.
I like it.
Yeah. And in fact, another thing that Elizabeth does when she's like super pumped that Mary just showed up
mm-hmm.
is she basically comes out and calls Mary the Ark. Mm-hmm. She says, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come unto me?"
Which is like what David said, right?
It's David, 2 Samuel 6.
Yeah.
2 Samuel 6, he says, "Who am I that the Ark of my Lord should come unto me?" And if you read these in Hebrew, it is a word-for-word quote, except for the word
and,
ark.
And, like, people would know that back then, right? Because, you know...
They all knew this.
Yeah, they all knew this, because they all knew the scripture.
They all knew the Old Testament, you know, backward and front.
Yeah.
So, and then, right after that, David is leaping for joy. He's, like, dancing naked
right.
in front of the ark. So, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? Who am I that the ark of my Lord should come unto me? David leaps for joy.
Dude,
Saint John the Baptist leaps for joy. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think I've ever been excited enough to where I was naked and wanting to dance.
I think he got naked and started dancing.
I don't even think I've never even been at that point.
And then I think, like,
in my life,
as I recall, he had a wife who was, like, ashamed of him for doing that.
Well, I mean,
because I think other people could see him doing
right,
it.
I've never been so excited where I thought, I got to take off all my clothes and start dancing.
I'm going to build a fire.
And express myself through the art of dance.
Just the art of dance. I just got to do it.
In front of everybody. I haven't had that type of...
You know, when you're the king, you get to do what you want.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I'm sorry.
So she calls her the Ark.
Mm-hmm.
And she is the Ark. And so, you know, you go back and you read the story about the Ark. It had to be pure, totally sinless, mm-hmm. you know? And I think a lot of Protestants...
Because, like, a dude touched the Ark and died.
Yeah, a dude named Uzzah.
Yeah, like, touched it, and he wasn't supposed to touch it, and because he touched it, he died.
And he was really trying to save the Ark.
Because it's about to fall.
He was going
to
fall, and he's like, no, don't get on the dirt, you know, because
right.
you're, like, super... So he touched it, but he presumed, he was the sin of presumption that he was cleaner than the dirt. The earth commits no sins. The earth obeys God's commands perfectly. When it gets wet, it turns into mud. When it dries, you know, whatever.
Dust.
Yeah. It's perfectly obedient. So basically, let me just put it this way. God killed a dude to prove a point about Mary's sinlessness. Because the Ark wasn't really about the tablets. It wasn't really about the staff of Aaron or the manna from heaven. Those are definitely important things. But it was really about Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of Protestants get hung up on, like, why are you honoring Mary? You know, like, you're all about Mary, 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 Mary. But they don't see that everything we do about Mary is to honor Jesus. It's like, listen, don't you think Jesus is so important that mm-hmm. he deserves a mother, deserves a vessel that was totally sinless, perfect from the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think he does? I mean, isn't he so awesome that he would have to have that? I mean, you're not...
The absolute best.
I mean, exactly. Like, are you not willing to say that, yes, he definitely needs that? Because that's what, you know, giving all these honors and titles to Mary, it's all about.
Right. It's all about Jesus.
Yeah, totally.
She's not the ends to the of the means.
So, and then I think, you know, another thing that a lot of Protestants will bring up is how St. Thomas Aquinas was not a believer in the Immaculate Conception.
Right.
And if you read the
Which
Summa,
I think is funny, though, because if they agreed with anything else St. Thomas said, they'd be Catholic.
Yeah. Or even anything else he said about Mary.
Right, because St. Thomas Aquinas was like, you know, it's funny that they cherry-picked St. Thomas Aquinas about this because they disagree with almost everything else St.
Thomas said. They don't agree with anything he says about Mary. Because, you know, even when he says she wasn't immaculately conceived, he's still making the argument that she was sinless from the beginning. She committed no sins.
Right.
They don't agree with that. But the reason for his disagreement was because science at the time was not good about babies, okay? They believed that a baby was conceived somehow, and it was growing, and then at some point there was an ensoulment. They did not believe that it took place at the moment of conception. They didn't even really know about sperm and eggs and, like, all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
So they believed in a moment called the quickening or the animation. It was the moment that a mother first felt a baby move in her womb. Mm-hmm. They thought that is when ensoulment takes place.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's the case, he goes on to make the argument that the natural has already pre-existed. And it is the natural or the body that possesses original sin. You know, that was not a spiritual inheritance as it is a natural inheritance.
Right. So most of the time, the two mistakes are what you just described or the mistake of a lack of understanding of what original sin is.
Correct.
Those are the two things that normally they scientifically didn't understand how a baby was formed and grew, or they didn't understand the correct definition of what original sin is.
Right. So if that were the case about ensoulment, you know, about the body existing and growing before it was animated with the soul, then he would probably be correct. But it was later, you know, through science, and we realized, oh, it happens all at the same time.
And let's remember,
conception
it wasn't defined
both.
Dogmatically during his lifetime.
Right, exactly. And if it had been, he would have submitted to that idea.
Absolutely.
So,
anyway,
Mary, Our Lady under the title of Immaculate Conception, pray for us.
We offer this segment, this show up to you. We just got done drinking some Anthem beer. Catholic Planner, go to our Instagram page. You can check it out. We'll give you one.
Become a friend of the show.
Yep. We are on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Aim for Mary, hit Jesus.